Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
You know, every time people hear that introduction now, they're like, he has still not changed it. They're like, the people are disappointed all across the world.
You know, I did get some feedback saying,
I did as well.
Please don't change the intro. Daniel, you should keep on doing it.
What feedback did you get? They're obstinate. They're not. Church planners can be stubborn people.
Yes, this is very true. All right. So, Ed, I asked on Twitter yesterday night, when it comes to leading your church, what keeps you up at night?
Yeah.
Right. So this first question, I thought, you know, it was a bit, I was trying to figure out if it'd be kosher for us to ask this
on the podcast or not.
Yeah. but given the fact that your latest book was all about Christians in the Age of Outrage,
yes.
I thought, hey, you know, let's do this.
Ed likes
to go political anyway.
Here you go. I do not, but go ahead.
Okay. So here's the question. How do you keep Jesus-loving liberals and conservatives in the same church in 2020?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's not an easy question now, is it? And so I'm sure you prepared an answer, so I'm ready for that.
Well, you wrote a whole book on it, Ed.
I did write a whole book on it. That's true. Well, to be fair, I wouldn't say that was, though I get your point, I wouldn't say that was the intent or the focus. Here's what I would say. A lot of it depends on what liberals and conservatives you mean. So what does that mean by such? So what I would say is...
So the context.
What's that?
Yeah. And the context is the pastor's pastor in Los Angeles.
Right. And of course, this can be a much more progressive environment. Here's how I would say it. I would say, rather than framing it in the terms of two polarities, I would say, how do we keep people of different political opinions in the same church? And I think that's a challenging issue, at least in America, in U.S. Now, keep in mind, not everyone who listens to us here is in the U.S., but the reality is we are uniquely polarized here in the U.S. because statistically, don't get mad at me for quoting statistics, math doesn't care about our feelings, but statistically, the more you go to church, the more likely you are to be a Republican, and the less you go to church, the more likely you are to be a Democrat. So, thus, we have a clear distinction between two. Now, that's as a whole. So, across the country, that's true. If you look at the random Americans in the African American community, that does not track the same way. But looking at it as a whole, it actually does. So, the question then is how can you do those and live in those ways together? And I think ultimately it has to be a recognition that we're not all, and this is really key, that we're not all perfectly aligned in any political party. You know, Tim Keller had an article not that long ago on political parties. And in that he talked about how, you know, we just don't align with the politics of the day. And so, but here's, he called it, how do Christians fit into a two-party system? And what he said is basically the view of Christians doesn't line up on social issues with contemporary political alignments. And there are distinctions between the two. Now, again, I'm not saying, a few things I'm not saying here. I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about politics. Furthermore, I'm not saying, and this is really important, I'm not saying that, how do I do this now as a double negative? Let me just make it as a positive. The Republican Party has become the home of many evangelicals in the U.S. because of a particular grouping of issues that have alienated evangelicals from the Democrats. For example, I've written on this extensively. There was an article in, do we have like show notes? Can we put something in the show notes, Daniel?
Of course we do, yeah.
So let's put in the show notes, the article I was interviewed in for Slate Magazine, where it said, you know, Hillary Clinton lost evangelicals because, like Wisconsin, she didn't show up. And so, you know, Hillary Clinton, whatever your politics are, I'm just telling you facts of what happened. That she won the Democratic primary and she relaunched her campaign. That's what you do after you win the primaries or you get enough delegates.
Yeah.
And she relaunched her campaign at Planned Parenthood. Okay, so we get, right? So there are things that the different parties believe that do sort people out religiously. However, there are people of good character who come to different conclusions about how they should vote. So I'm saying there are people of good character who, because of their hierarchy of values, might end up in a different political view than I have or than you have. Now, of course, we're talking about the U.S., right? I'm talking about Canada. And because this is a uniquely U.S. reality. In almost all other countries, Brazil being an exception, most other countries, the Christians don't find themselves aligning with one party at a higher rate, the church attenders at a higher rate. So here, what I would say is that you could go one of two routes. The first route is to just never mention anything about the social issues of the day. And I don't think that's the right route, because I think there are times to speak up when there's injustice, when there's when people aren't dealing with real issues, when that person's from California. There's a time to speak up when your Christian colleges in California are going to lose their ability to participate in certain programs, and or they're going to be laid bare for lawsuits and more. This time to speak up on that. There's a time to speak up when there's injustice against or constant attacks against immigrants and comments people of color. And even there, you end up on different sides of the political spectrum. The examples I gave, right, religious liberty for Christian colleges in California and speaking up on issues of immigration and injustice, that causes you not to fit in any political party. So the first option, just don't mention those ever. Second option is mention those, but in my view, mention those that cause you not to be beholden to any political party. I care about religious liberty. I care about pro-life, and I care about systemic injustice that causes African American parents to have long talks with their sons when they get of driving age, so they can know how to respond to the police without being injured. So I care about all of those things. So that makes me not fit in a political party perfectly. So the question is, are you going to say nothing? If you're going to not say nothing, then say something. Don't make it a regular thing, but when there needs to be something said, don't be afraid to say it, but don't get aligned with one party.
No, that's really helpful, Ed. I guess my question is, how do you, on the latter point that you had just mentioned, how do you make sure that people aren't just reading into your comments?
Well, because people do read into your comments all the time. I guess what I would say is I would probably, if I was in a local church, I would probably push on the issue of, if I hear people like saying outside, this is what he said, or this is what I said, I would also say something like this. I would say, hey, listen, if you're going, I'm going to say something, and I really want to encourage you to hear exactly what I'm saying, hear not what I'm saying. And I want you to know, as your pastor and as your friend, if I hear it said in ways that I didn't say it, or I didn't include it, I'm going to come talk to you. But here's what I think. I think right now we should say something about the situation at the border and, you know, blah, 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 and say it from there. Because what happens is, it was really, you know, Breitbart is this, semi-news magazine. And they took this thing where they said about Hillary Clinton. So Beth Moore had said something about her distress with the current election cycle, and then Breitbart writes a story, and again, she doesn't mention any, and you're probably gonna be nervous about even playing this, but I think it's good for you to be a little nervous. Because it really gets at the perfect example. So Beth Moore basically expresses just her distress around things that, you know, were said by then, I think, candidate Trump about, you know, maybe the Hollywood access bus or things of that sort. And so then the headline at Breitbart is, Christian speaker Beth Moore stands in the gap for Hillary Clinton. So this kind of, I mean, just freedom to make things up in ways that are just deeply discerning. So what I would say is, don't let that happen to you.
Yeah, it's a headline reading into it, right? Yeah. No, Ed, so I've, I always joke, well, you always joke that you're recording in the basement in Aurora, Illinois, right, with the Wayne's World reference. And I'm now back in Canada, and I'm recording in the basement, not in Aurora, Illinois, but in Edmonton, Alberta, in my new home here. And I've been in the, you know, being in the States for five years and having lived through an election cycle, and now being back in Canada, and there's going to be a federal election in 2 months here, and there's no campaigning. There's no, I mean, it's a completely different political world in Canada. However, having said that, there's still the question still is relevant, where there are churches who are going to lean more on the Conservative Party and others who are going to lean more on the Liberal or the New Democratic Party. And both sides are going to polarize each other and be like, how can you be on the other side? And they're each going to have their references. So in Canada, at least, I haven't seen many churches who will actually address or talk about politics because it's too polarizing. And it's not like there's one party, as much as, yes, there are more Christians typically in the Conservative Party in Canada. It's not like that's an exclusive thing. And it's not like the Conservative Party really leans on or tries to gather the evangelicals together as much as the Republican Party might do in the States. So it is, you're right. It is a very different climate and a context. And in terms of this question, someone in Oklahoma might
totally.
Be
and it is important to know where he
wondering
is
that about does make this a difference. Compared to someone in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah, exactly. So in light of all that, right, I mean, obviously people are probably going to read into this podcast as well. What advice would you want to leave our listeners with, especially in light of the election cycles that are coming up, both in Canada and in the US?
Well, I would say one of the things to remember is that your opinion as a pastor does not matter as much as your desire to give your opinion on everything. The reality is you're not going to make that much of a difference. And I would be very careful in seeing that I have to have this role. Excuse me. Very careful. And I have to have this role to somehow. I wrote about this during the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh, kind of after those accusations had come forward that he had denied. And I basically said, you're not voting in the Senate. Why do you have to opine on this? Why do you as a pastor have to have your opinion? Because what you do, if you say, well, I believe Kavanaugh, then a lot of women in your church are hearing that maybe you won't believe them. If you say, well, I believe the accuser, then a lot of, and remarkably believable. That morning when we listened to Professor Ford, remarkably believable. You say that, and then what does that mean for your, but here's the deal. Why do you have to? So what I would say is, don't feel the need to opine on everything. I think there is a place and a time when something's so egregious that it's important as a pastor and a church leader that the women and men in your church know that even if you're a big supporter of this candidate or that candidate, that when they say or do something that's really just offensive, that you see that, you get that, you see them, you get that it's important that you speak up when somebody says something about, you know, that dismisses women based on their appearance or says something, you know, that might, you know, be just objectifying and more, you might say, I stand against this. And, you know, and so for me, what I would also say is don't follow Ed Stetzer, because so I'm like a cultural commentator. I'm literally paid to have opinions on all of these things. And so you could look at, and it's great if you can read my opinions, you agree or disagree, maybe they make you think, but they're not, that's not a model for you. I'm not primarily a local church pastor planting a church or preaching somewhere every week. My primary responsibility is to them, not to divide them. Now, I think there's some issues that transcend that. I think Christians everywhere and all places should speak up for the unborn. I think that should transcend that reality. I think Christians everywhere and all places should speak up that men and women are all made in the image of God, worthy of dignity and respect, whether they're immigrants, whether they're here illegally, whether they're people who differ than us or express their understanding of themselves differently than us. I think those are things that Christians everywhere should stand up for and sometimes stand when necessary against.
This has been really good. Just to remember that people are going to read into what you say is just huge to be aware of, right? To remember that, to be aware of that. And honestly, people are going to have the opinions that they have, and there are going to be certain people who will come up to you and ask you to comment on particular political issues. So you being hypersensitive and hyper aware that when people ask you to comment on that, or they're asking your opinion on that, maybe it's a coffee conversation, but you being the pastor, who knows where they're going to say that or where they're going to quote you. So my recommendation would really just be, if someone asks you about a political question, especially a highly charged one, instead of answering right away, ask them their opinion on it, or ask them why they're asking that question, and always lead the conversation more toward the systemic issue and what the gospel has to say about that, rather than sharing your cards about your political preferences. Because yeah, you're right. I mean, especially in today's world, not every Christian is a conservative. Not every Christian is a, not every atheist is a liberal. And I mean, you're right. It's not hard and fast, these political lines.
I think that's key. And I would say too, don't feel the need. Again, I never say who I vote for. I don't think I've ever publicly said who I voted for in any election. Mm-hmm. Now you can sort of tell some of my values in and around there. And I vote according to my views on life, my views on justice. And I probably give hints that I think that higher taxes are slow economic growth. I live in Illinois. Just come to live in Illinois. So I have some beliefs, but I never would preach and teach on the fact that I think marginal tax rates are higher or lower, and that's better for the economy. I'm teaching the Word of God. I'm teaching the gospel. Now, when there are issues that are scriptural issues, I don't think marginal tax rates and the resulting growth or decline of the economy are scriptural issues. Yeah. I do think scriptural issues are that we should see people as made in the image of God, worthy of dignity and respect. And that's a big part. Now, I don't know if you can edit this out later, if I shouldn't do this, but I've actually written a whole thing on talking about controversial issues. It's called 10 Steps to Engaging Controversial Issues. If people go to edstetzer.com, to my mission group resources, it's free there. It's called 10 Steps to Engaging Controversial Issues. Yeah, and it's just at edstetzer.com, mission group.
And we'll link that out in the show notes as well.
Cool.
Because that's helpful. Anyways, thanks.
It's such an important question. I get asked this all the time.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in to the New Churches Q&A podcast. One thing that we'd love for you to do is also check out the One Thing podcast with our friends Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna. They really are both of our friends. both of us have spent lots of times with them and recently.
Been in their homes. Well, I've been in Scott's home.
Yeah. Me too. So they've talked recently about growth barriers, the leadership quotient, church announcements, and all talking from an Aussie context that I know many of us can learn from. So just check out the One Thing podcast and subscribe today.